And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio someone who knows more about what's happening when people come to visit Palmer than anybody else, because he's right at the center. He's at the place, the nexus, where everybody comes. The big buses come, the little buses come, people walk in. Sam Dinges from the Palmer Museum of History and Art and the Visitor Center. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you.
So, how does it feel? You've now been in charge of that place for how long?
Oh, about 6 months now.
Okay. How's that feel?
It's feeling pretty good so far.
Would you, now this is, you don't have a lot of comparative years, but I know you've talked to other people. I live sort of around the corner from the museum, and as I walk back and forth, I notice they're very large, typically white, but sometimes other colored buses that come in, and then people wandering all around, et cetera. How would you say this year is going as you look back at records in the past or talk to people who have had to deal with the flow of tourists in the past?
My understanding this year is compared to last year, we're up a little bit on buses, about 10%. So it's actually been pretty nice. There's quite a few stopping through Palmer, of course, on their way up to Valdez or to Copper Center, but we do have some fairly regular buses that are stopping, not just to see the garden and then keep going, but they're actually going across the street. So that's pretty positive, too. I don't have much to compare that to for past years, but it feels like from the drivers that it's been more people have been expressing interest in the town.
Well, and that's been something that over the years has been long discussed, that Palmer's merchants, whether it's a coffee house or anything else, we're quite willing to welcome people and to show something of the town. And plus, there's the garden, which is very attractive. But now you've added a walking tour and an opportunity for people to do more than just stretch their legs. Are you able to get a sense of people as they hit the town, wander around? They express what they're thinking as they see Palmer? What's the general feeling about that?
Well, it depends. It varies from bus to bus, but a lot of the buses that we get that stay are people who are coming to Palmer for lunch. So those lunch buses are usually here for about an hour and a half. We get several of them a week consistently, and then we get a few surprises. But The lunch buses, usually they'll drop people off at the visitor center, kind of say you can get some information here, and then the bus will go park, and then they'll go to a restaurant and eat, but a lot of them also not want to know where they can shop see that we've got this nice little downtown walkable, shoppable district, and they think, well, this is a great way to get started on this Alaskan vacation right here is to pick up some trinkets.
Okay. And what I have noticed is that people have been doing the self-guided walking tours. I know you've put a lot of energy into developing that and an audio guide that would allow people to know where to go and what to do. How's that working out?
Well, we're still trying to pitch it to the bus companies. A lot of them have kind of already made their plans and reservations for the year, of course. So we're looking at a 1 or 2 year long game in that to kind of see how it changes. But among individuals, the response has been pretty good. We've given about 200 tours so far this year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's picking up. About every day somebody goes out either on the guided tour or with a headset. And we've actually talked to a couple of schools too, so some of them are incorporating it into their their programs. So yeah, so I'd say the reception has been very positive.
I'm curious. I know you await the buses. How much sort of notice do you get that a bus is coming?
Well, a few of the bigger companies like Premier, they send us a schedule every month, although I've found that their schedule tends to change on a dime. But so we get some notice from that. And at the start of the summer, I make phone calls out to all the tour buses that came through last year, and I try to get some approximates from them. But I'd say fewer than half our buses are scheduled or expected. They just kind of roll right up, and then
there they are.
So
okay, in either the off season or during the season itself, do you find that do you reach out and encourage people to stop, or is there something of a program of selling the stop to potential visitors?
That's something we do a lot in the we do it in both seasons, but because these buses are booked by tourists who book in advance, often a year, really it's the come October and November is when a good time is to start making sure that we're really heavily marketing to tour companies. For independent travelers, it's kind of a year-round thing. We try to keep our website maintained. We put out the visitor guide. It's that's kind of a more continuous thing. But for the bigger companies, it's definitely the off season that you want to get a hold of them so that you can get them while they're making their plans.
I was just thinking as you were talking about that great publication, The Milepost, which I find and have used, in fact, this summer on a trip to be reminded that having all the detail of where things are is curious. Mm-hmm. Are we listed in the Milepost? Are we part of that?
I don't believe we've been listed in the Milepost for a couple of years now. But that is some. We are listed in RV Alaska and a few other driving guides that people use.
Okay. Because that's been my... I had someone, because we're located right here in downtown Palmer on the street, I very often will have someone who's independently traveling usually stop in and ask about one thing or another. I direct them to the visitor center, but they it's kind of we're on the way, and Palmer is in some ways a destination. Certainly people come out from Anchorage, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that too in a moment, but it's also on the way if people are either coming into the state or leaving the state and going up the Glen Highway. This is a convenient place to stop. But thinking about events now that are destination type events that the visitor center is involved in the year, I know that particularly at Colony Christmas, which seems like it's a long way away, but given that the Alaska State Fair is almost upon us, not that far, are there some big events that are destination events that will draw people into Palmer that you see happening in the near term?
Yeah, so our next really big one is going to be Untold Stories. We're doing our eighth incarnation of that at the depot on September 16th from 6 to 8. And so that usually has a pretty good draw. We usually get at least 100 people who come out from Palmer, but we've had a few folks from Anchorage too tell me that they enjoy coming and hearing the recollections. So
what's the theme this year of this for that particular one?
The theme, as I understand it, is inspiration. So it's if not for this, I never would have that. Okay. So stories of helping hands and inspirational people.
And we should have a representation there since it's located right across from us here in the studio. We have in the past been able to broadcast, stream, and even do video, and we're aiming in that direction this time as well. So for those people who can't make it out, or even those people who come to see it, it's sometimes nice to go back and take another listen because the stories have been wonderful. Yeah, they've been very good.
Yeah.
So that's coming up on the 16th. Other events of that sort?
Well, we do have a smaller event coming up on September 7th. We're in the process of installing a new exhibit over at the museum that features our connection with our sister city in Saroma, Japan. So we're displaying some of the gifts that have been exchanged over the years and kind of presenting a highlight of the relationship as it's evolved from 1980. So that should be installed by the start of next week, and I definitely encourage you to come check that out. We'll be having a small reception for that on September 7th, Friday. So definitely come by and visit us for that. Kind of see the exhibit, and also get to talk to some museum staff and some folks from Palmer Soromakai who will be there to. You know, talk about this really fascinating aspect of Palmer's history and this relationship that's lasted for 38 years now.
Right, right. It's been, fortunate enough to be involved in supporting some of those activities. Been to Soroma, what you have to display is extraordinary, and it just, in part, is a way to reflect upon this relationship. But I think that's the more interesting thing. It points to a relationship, and the people of Soroma certainly have been very supportive, and look toward Palmer as a very special place. And I think it's safe to say people in Palmer feel the same way. Anyone who has been involved with that program feels the strength of that connection. So I'm happy to hear you're doing that, making that kind of thing happen. So there's also, do you have annual meetings and things of that sort? When is that typically held?
We do have an annual meeting. It's our membership meeting, but we're working to make it a little bit more of a celebration than a membership meeting. But that happens in May every year, so early May. So we have our annual meeting, but otherwise, between now and Colony Christmas, the exhibit, Untold Stories, and if you are interested and you enjoyed the wine walk, we're going to be doing a Palmer Harvest Wine and Dine dinner in conjunction with the Downtown Deli. So that'll be on October 13th. We'll be posting some more details about that. Putting up ticket sales here soon.
So moving beyond wine to add food.
We are, yes, we have six courses and six wines. So we've paired food specifically to each of the wines we have, and we're hoping to kind of take it to another level.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I know that from time to time, as people go through what they have stored in various places, the question comes up, maybe the museum would be interested in that. So what is a guideline for a listener if they think they have something of historical value that would be brought to the attention of the museum? How do you decide what to take or how to handle that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, the first step is always just to get in touch with us and tell us about what you got. Really, since we are such a small institution, we have to limit what we take in to stuff that pertains to the greater Palmer area. Unfortunately, if you've got regalia from the Aleutian Islands, it might be great, but it's not something that we could take. But we love stuff that pertains to Palmer. And so if you have if you have something and you're cleaning out the garage you think might be of interest to us, give us a call. We'll come look at it if, it's too big to bring in, and kind of tell you if we can't take it, if it's something that we might not fit our collection purview. We do have a lot of connections, though, with other museums who might, that might be their thing right there. That might be something that really helps them out. So if you have stuff, even if you're not sure if it's Palmer related, we're really happy to come take a look at it.
Okay, that's very good. And do you, I know that some of the, some materials that, some of the pieces that are in your collection are sometimes placed in other locations. Do you have outsourced locations for some of this?
We have a few. Most of it's for our art right now.
Okay.
So if you go over to the Palmer Library, you'll see a little bit of our art and some of our, we've got a few artifacts on display there. we also have art on display over with the Rasmussen Foundation. But we don't have an extensive out program, although that's something we're interested in looking into, maybe getting some of the downtown businesses to help us feature the stuff in the basement.
Okay. And I notice in particular, as going down this road, since I walk by the visitor center area frequently, of course, the big thing was the change in the sign. Since you first arrived, you've made a big impact. The sign is gone that formally announced what was there, and in its place is a very interesting piece, which at first glance seems to be a truck, and it is, but it's a representation of a truck. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, about a year ago, Selena applied for a grant, the former director with the Rasmussen Foundation, to get an art sculpture installed in place of the sign, with the rationale being that the sign was starting to be affected by the winds in Palmer.
Sure.
All I've really done is coordinate its placement. I can't take too much credit for her getting the grant all put together.
Sure.
But it's a beautiful piece, though. It's a local artist, Pat Garley, put it together for us. And it's representational of a period vehicle, although he did a great job of not tying it to any particular brand. The driver, her name is Rusty, and she is actually based on... a female trucker who lived in the area. And then there's a dog and a chicken. If you can find the chicken, then kudos for you. We've been trying to fill it up with vegetables in the back, so it looks like a truck going to market, but it is a beautiful sculpture if you haven't gotten a chance to see it already. And, we're really appreciative to the Rasmussen Foundation for helping us get it set out there.
Now, I would think that visitors coming in would be particularly struck by it. I know when I first saw it, I said, "Wow, this is wonderful." It is almost real. It's a faux truck in the sense that it's a sculpture, but it captures so much of a real truck of that era. I think that's what's interesting. And, of course, there are other pieces of sculpture that are focused on cabbages and other things that are around it. But that leads me to the interesting question about the larger items. I know that there are some pieces of farm equipment, for example, that are around the garden and other places. That those pieces, those outside pieces, seem to be very helpful in defining the museum, that it's not just you have to go inside, there's nothing outside, but what is outside there on those grounds is nice. And I keep thinking, I wonder if there are other pieces like that that could be in other parts of the city.
Well, we're pretty happy to have the collection outside, and actually most of it doesn't belong to the museum. It's on loan from local farms or folks who ended up with this equipment and wanted it to do something other than just sit in a field. So so that it it's out there and it's displayed, and I think it helps emphasize Palmer's uniqueness in being a farming town in Alaska. Not a lot of other towns in the state really can make that kind of claim. So It kind of helps emphasize our agrarian heritage, and we're actually going to be getting a new piece out there.
Tell us about it.
It's a hay lift, I won't say too much more on it just now, but it'll be on the other side of the garden, kind of across from the Pioneer Home. Should be here in a day or two, so definitely keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, those are good things. Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Sam Dingus, who's director of the Palmer Museum of History and Art. We've been talking both about the visitor center as well as the museum itself. So in the last few minutes we have here, Sam, are there other things that I have missed asking about that you want to share with listeners?
No, I think you've covered it pretty thoroughly. We encourage people to come check out the museum, check out our tour every day at 1:00. And if you can't make that, we do have our self-guided audio tour of the historic district. If you've got family in town and you need to get him out of the house for a little bit, or if you want to come learn a little bit more about the history of Palmer, it's a great opportunity to come down and see.
Okay. Well, Sam, thank you for coming in today. And we still have a bit of summer left.
Mm.
And well, one other last question I have. What happens during the Alaska State Fair? I mean, there are 300,000 people that come a mile south of the city. Do you find an uptick in visitors during that time? Or
my understanding, I haven't worked in Palmer during the fair, but my understanding is that it actually it starts to settle down a little bit because one, as we get towards the end of August, we're starting to get towards the end of the tourist season. But also, the fair is so well publicized and advertised. Most people who are coming to Palmer during fair time, they know that the fair is happening and they know that they want to go to it. So that kind of unfortunately eliminates us as the middleman to send them that way.
But it also means that the museum might be a place, because sometimes just the noise and drama of the fair can be so overwhelming. It's nice to take a little break, and maybe the museum and the gardens would be a good part of that to sort of recuperate a little bit before plunging back into the maelstrom of the fair.
Well, we certainly think so.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.